I have a buddy named Ray Briers, and he owns a company called The Pipe Yard Inc., INC.com. And if you have a project that needs carbon steel pipe, he stocks everything you need. New surplus, secondary, you name it, rat hole, mouse hole, conductor casing, pipe pile, sign pole, structural, road bores, dredging. If you're buying or selling, you got an abandoned pipeline, wherever, he'll buy it. ThePipeYardInc.com, 409-788-PIPE, 409-788-PIPE.
That time. Lock and load. The Michael Berry Show is on the air.
When you're signing in to a website and they say, we're going to send you a code, you give us the code when we send it to you, right? We're going to send it to your phone. Would you like that? And you hit send. The amount of time between when you hit send and when that text comes, that's the shortest amount of time of anything in the world. Nothing happens faster than that. Does that not blow your mind? Think about how many things in life take way longer than they need to. And then there's that thing. I amuse myself by getting my phone out, getting it off of the sleep mode and getting it all ready and hitting send. And it feels like before your finger is off the send, it's already there. Whoop. How did that happen? Think about it. It had to receive that information, make the decision using the number you gave to send it back out, send it, you receive it, and in what seems like less than a split second. That's the craziest thing. That's my question. We got calls already, so I'll get to them because they're on hold. But that is my question for you. It's a lightning round. What are things that are way faster than they used to be, which is awesome, or what is something that takes so much longer than it feels like it needs to? Like, if you got to walk to Florida, it's going to take you some time. You got that. But there are things that feel like they take way longer. I'll tell you this. I don't know if this is true. So, you know Sonia at Low T Center. Every Saturday morning, she goes and gets a patty melt. 8 o'clock, she goes and gets a patty melt and onion rings and a shake and something like that. That's her treat. It's Saturday morning. She's a little girl. Tiny little thing. She can do that. That's her one blow it out. It's Saturday morning. She gets up by herself, goes up there and does her Whataburger thing and goes home. So anybody that goes to the Low T Center that we go to, which is they're all over, but the one we go to is the one off. Is it Greenhouse? The one in Katy. That's the one Ramona and I go to. Kenny Smith runs that shop. He's a great guy. Anyway, Sonia is a cute little Hispanic woman who is one of the women that gives you the jab when you're there every week. So every Saturday morning she does that. So yesterday I said, because my buddy Ray Sinkowicz takes his boys after football practice, a lot of times that they have one on, he lives over, was it Gessner and 10, and they'll go into Whataburger and get a Whataburger. And he said, it's gotten to where it's 30 minutes. From the time we pull into the parking lot to the time we get our food, it's gotten to where it's 30. Oh, his question for me, we're driving along and he said, have you noticed that Whataburger has changed since they have new ownership? And I said, I haven't, but I haven't eaten at Whataburger in a while. I've been really, really careful with what I eat and trying to get my systems right. And he said, I haven't noticed anything. I said, well, I hadn't heard that anything has changed. And he said, but I will tell you, they are slower than ever. And he told me the 30-minute story. So I asked Sonia yesterday, because we always talk about her Saturday morning Whataburger fix. And she said, no, at 8 o'clock, she said, you have to realize at 8 o'clock in the morning at Whataburger, there's nobody there. So I was just curious if you've noticed that Whataburger's lines have gotten longer. Mark, you're up.
Hi. Hello. Mr. Berry.
Yes.
Yes, I was just wondering if you were following this death row case of Rick Rhodes. He's scheduled for execution.
Yep, he killed the Allen brothers. I am very familiar with that case. I'm not very familiar. I have read about I think the execution is tonight or tomorrow night. Tonight. Is it tonight? Ramon says it's tonight.
It is tonight. Unless he gets, I guess it's gone all the way to the Supreme Court at this point. But I grew up with these guys, and I mean, they were just super guys. Charles was an aspiring musician, and my best friend lived next door to them, and his older brother had built them a house. They had just moved into that house. It was brand new, had a recording studio built. These were beloved guys, came from a big family right there. We lived in a real nice part of Pasadena. And we've all been waiting, you know, for 30 years now for this. And I just felt like calling in and giving, you know, paying some honor and tribute to these guys. You know, I've missed them ever since. And I've followed this Rick Rhodes guy, and he's been a real piece of work in prison, too. I've seen a video online of him where they've had to use a battering ram and a fire hose with six armored security guards busting in his cell and hosing him, and he's still trying to fight all six of them. He's, you know, I mean, when he was paroled, he was sent out, I guess, with whatever they give him back then, $15 and a bus ticket, and he broke into some abandoned apartments up a back road there, and I guess just decided he'd go out casing houses that night.
Yeah, he murdered them, I think, the day he got out or the next day, I read.
It
was within, I can't remember if it was within 24 or 48 hours, but he'd just gotten out of prison. Oh, Ramon's telling me. He had convictions for burglary and auto theft in Florida, Iowa, and Texas. Listen, these guys are savages. And the good news is this guy's white. So we can talk about this savage bastard for what he is and what should be done with him without black people having to feel, you know, like they need to defend him. This kind of guy is like a rabid dog. And naive people that don't understand evil will never understand that a guy like this cannot be fixed. He will never be fixed. He will rape, plunder, murder, steal, assault, burn, beat. Guys like this have zero use to society, and they should be thrown in a cage. And I'm glad he's being executed. I am very glad he is being executed.
I was sharing the story with my 26-year-old newly married daughter last night. And she said, "Daddy, this is crazy. I can't believe that someone that evil exists." I said, "Honey, you got to know, not everybody thinks like us. And there's just, you know, bad, evil people, unfortunately."
But what I read, Mark, was that he broke into the house that one of them had just built, and I guess they'd both gone through divorces. And one or the other of them, I can't remember which one, was living there and invited his brother to live there because they're going through these divorces. And the guy breaks in, and he goes in, and he's stabbing and killing one of them when the other brother wakes up and comes in to defend his brother, and he stabs that one to death. And they catch him because he's breaking into another building a week or two or three later.
On my street, on Fox Meadow, where I grew up.
He would have killed more. I mean, that's what this guy was going to do. This guy was going to kill until he's made to stop.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, when we all went to the trial there, these guys were so beloved. There was standing room only. You couldn't get in there. I literally had to hold my best friend back, who lived next door, grew up with. We all grew up together, you know, with these Allen guys that stopped and played basketball with me in the driveway, and we'd go there.
I think in a situation like this, they should just chain the guy up and let us all get a punch or a stab or a kick, a cod shot.
The Michael Berry Show.
Let society get our, you know, ounce.
For years, I've been bragging on the team at Allied Outdoor Solutions in Houston for the beautiful work they do to make your outdoor area, your backyard, look like a resort. Well, their business has just grown and grown organically because they do great work. Your walkways, the area around your pool, your outdoor kitchen, all of that. AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. And now, over the years, it's taken 20 years, they're now in Austin, Dallas, and San Antonio. AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com, 844-846-1010. Call them at 844-846-1010.
the man. Ooh, yeah. Someone's knocking at the door. Somebody ringing the bell. Someone's knocking at the door. Somebody's ringing the bell. Do me a favor. Open the door. Let them in.
Interesting choice for that arrangement. Patty, you're on the Michael Berry Show. Go ahead.
Hey, Michael. You know, I know you talk on the radio for 5 hours a day, and that sometimes you get to rambling, as Shirley Q says, your erstwhile yammerings. But you said something on Friday afternoon that I have been thinking about, and I disagree fundamentally. You said that the left wants America reduced to rubble, and I have to push back. I don't think that's what the left want. They want a nice, shiny, well-ordered, comfortable world where they can go and sit at an artisanal coffee shop or order a kale salad and have it delivered to their house in 5 minutes. They just want to be the ones in charge of that. So they don't want the world reduced to rubble. It's like the pigs in Animal Farm. The whole book, they're criticizing the way that the farmer lives. But guess what? On the last page, there they are, living in the farmer's house, walking around on two legs, eating at the farmer's table, and drinking the farmer's wine. So I just wanted to push back. I don't think anybody wants the world turned to rubble. They just don't understand that they want things the way they want them, and those two things are mutually exclusive.
It's a figurative statement. I don't think they want to literally burn down the nation and be left living in the woods, penniless, without clothes or food. I think what they want is to destroy every institution as we know it. By destroy, that doesn't mean drop a bomb on it or burn it down. It means remove it from its existence as it currently is and take over control of it. Of course it's about control. It's all about control. I don't resent the left for seeking to control every aspect of American life. I resent the naive suburban moms who vote for them and put them in this position and then feel betrayed. Oh, my God, I can't believe they're doing this to little Billy at school when this was exactly who they were all along. Joe Biden is exactly who we thought he was. Kamala Harris is exactly who we thought she is. Pete Buttigieg is exact, and on and on and on. Lena Hidalgo. And if they're not exactly who you think they are, they're malleable to the interests, the little conniving knaves behind the scenes who recruit these candidates, put them out there. And then, Ramon, do you have, can you go to my Facebook page? There is a group called Justice Democrats. And several years ago, these are avowed socialists. It'll be, I don't know, 5, 10, 15 posts down, but you can find the audio. These are avowed socialists, young, ambitious Che Guevara follower types. And they went looking for a candidate. And they did a little mini documentary. They're proud to tell you this. They basically did a casting call. Hey, who wants to play the face of the Justice Democrats? We've got a lot of resources, a lot of big money from George Soros, and a lot of organizational resources. We're going to knock on doors. We're going to do social media. We know how to run a campaign. We are in search of a candidate. And they went looking. And Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was the candidate they found. Of course, she was going by the name Gabriel, I think, at the time. She's going by a different name than Alexandria. Did you find it? This is the documentary they made. This isn't someone, as bad as this makes them look, they're actually proud of this. Listen to this.
Back in 2016, we put out a call for nominations, trying to capture the diversity of background, of experience of the American electorate, the people that aren't currently represented in office. We got over 10,000 nominations. Out of those 10,000 nominations, we found Alexandria.
My brother told me that he had sent my nomination in the summer, but I was like literally working out of a restaurant and I was like, there's no way.
Her profile is not what you'd think of as someone who should run for office, right?
I grew up with a really politically engaged and attuned family. We always were debating politics, talking about things, but we were never involved in the formal structures of politics.
We saw these signs of someone who's willing to sacrifice their own future for the good of others.
I remember some of the moments that I felt really dejected about politics, the extension of the Bush tax cuts in 2010, and seeing that the same people were financing all campaigns. And I was like, what is even the difference of a Democrat and a Republican?
That was the depressing part, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so I, like a lot of working people, felt that cynicism and I understood it very deeply. 2016 represented a re-engagement. That's when I started tuning in more to activism and really getting to the core of these issues. I remember that evening on election day in November. I was really disappointed and really sad, but I was not shocked.
She was at Standing Rock trying to figure out what her next steps are, just like a lot of people were. What do you do when someone like Trump wins?
And my experience at Standing Rock was so spiritually transformative. Being there in such an acute moral struggle, you really saw how it was more important than any material thing. And so I walked out of that camp and I was like, what do I do? And then literally that day, I get this email like, this is what you do.
So Izzy, one of the people that was working with us at the time, called and it was scheduled for 20, 30 minutes and it went maybe an hour and a half.
Like, you hadn't thought about running for office or anything at that point, right?
No, no.
You knew you got to do something.
I knew that I had to do something.
Yeah, we would call people up and kind of walk them through the platform.
We would try to call up folks that were, like, doing all kinds of amazing stuff, right? Yeah. Every conversation would have a very awkward pitch at the end because we'd like, talk to them about, like, oh, it's so great. You're, like, saving lives. You're fixing stuff in your community. And so do you want to run for Congress, maybe?
Yeah. She was like, well, would you be open entering this kind of nomination process? And I was like, sure, because that's not a will you run for Congress.
Yeah, we felt the passion in her voice. She really wanted to fight for the big thing, and she got on a bunch of video calls to meet some of the other candidates that at the time were thinking about running.
There were so many other amazing candidates. The entire time I didn't think I was gonna be picked. In my brain I was like, this isn't gonna happen until Izzy called and she was like, hey, do you want to go to Kentucky in 2 weeks? And I was like, oh.
We invited people to an in-person summit in Kentucky when we started getting serious about who we were going to run.
Well, Kentucky was, I mean, I found it, at least for me,
that was a spiritual experience.
It was a spiritual experience.
Yeah. What happened was just magic. All these people from all over the country, incredible community leaders, talking about similar problems they all faced, talking to each other, engaging, pumping each other up, pumping us up, you know?
That was like a super pivotal moment, I felt like. I just remember the first day we've created this network of people that put movement first.
Feeling like it was a movement and that it wasn't about me was the most convincing aspect, being like, oh yeah, I'll do this because it's a bunch of crazy people and this will be fun.
Yeah. Because all of you got into this like movement first, that's defined, I mean, your actions since you got elected, right? And everyone else is like, man, this is weird. Why are you doing all this weird stuff? Well, it's because it's a different, you didn't come
in. It's a different start. Yeah.
There's so much reaction to the divergence.
Kenneth in Lago Vista, you're up. Go.
Michael.
Yes.
A few days ago, you were talking to a lady about the border crisis, and you stated that Governor Abbott had the ability to shut down the border. I'm not aware of that. So what powers does he have to actually do that, and why didn't any of his predecessors do that?
Well, he could put the National Guard on the border. He could do anything until they forced him to stop.
Okay. I was just curious. I never heard of you know, any other way to do
it. Let
me
ask you this.
The federal government to stop it.
Yes, sir? If a Democrat were in office and their base wanted them to do it, they'd do it, wouldn't they?
Yes, sir.
I mean, you think about this. You think about this. It was in November, so what, 10 months ago, that Biden himself said, you can't have vaccine mandates, that'd be unconstitutional. Nancy Pelosi said, you can't have vaccine mandates, it'd be unconstitutional. Fauci said, you can't have vaccine mandates. We've never done that before. We're never going to do that. They decided they wanted to do it, and by God, they're doing it and forcing you to stop them. That's what they do. Republicans sit around giving you all the reasons that they can't do it, or this is Kevin McCarthy's new thing. He posts tweets. The Democrats they're spending a bunch of money. Okay, well, do something about it. It's not good. Well, then do something about it. And then you've got Republicans. Liz Cheney has now been supported by Occupy Democrats. The far left group has endorsed her reelection. You're going to be surprised how many Republicans are going to come out and support her. So now you've got George W. Bush supporting her. Of course, her daddy, Dick Cheney. And she gets glowing coverage on 60 Minutes on Sunday because Trump supports her opponent. George W. Bush brought her down to Dallas. Maybe they'll have Halliburton supporting her. Maybe the entire Bush industrial complex will come out, I'm sure, and support her. And George P. Bush. They still have a lot of their folks dug in government, even though the base has no patience for them any longer. Fox News just did a glowing story on George P. Bush in Texas that he had come out and he had said, those were not whips that those border officers were using. Those were not whips. Okay, Shrub, we got you. Fox News does this story as if George P. Bush had stood up to these guys are manipulating y'all so badly. And Abbott's part of that crowd. These are the guys, these are the country club Republicans. These are the guys that have no heart for the fight. These are the reason that we lose to the Democrats. The Democrats, to their credit, they will fight you. And they want to win. Pelosi is ferocious. People all the time make statements to me about Nancy Pelosi that suggest that they have underestimated Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi is the most powerful speaker of the House in American history, and it's not even close. It's not even close. Sam Rayburn was not 10% the tyrant running the House with an iron fist that she is. Jim Wright, not even close. There has never been a Speaker of the House. Newt Gingrich, any of them, modern or all the way back, who has run the House the way she has. And it's not just the length of time she's done it. It's the way she's done it. The things she's accomplished. She got Obamacare through. That's unbelievable. Not only would Republicans never have dared do something so bold, when Republicans have been in control since then, they can't even undo it. That was the most radical act of the modern Congress, maybe the most radical act of Congress of all time. And Republicans cannot even undo it. Think about that for a moment. Brother Bill and Brian, go ahead.
Hey, Michael, good morning. And I'm just a great segue into my question, which is Michael McCall. I've looked at the new districting map for Texas. We've had Pete Sessions now for a short time. He's been okay. It wasn't my first pick, but I'm really worried about McCall. I think he's a John Cornyn. I think he's been there too long. He makes the right vote when everyone's looking. What are your thoughts?
Exactly what you just said.
Yeah. Useless. Damn it. That just worries the heck out of me. Mm-mm-mm.
McCall is one of those guys that has a lot of big business behind him. His in-laws were the head of, he married into the family that owned Clear Channel at the time, which is the company that was eventually sold to iHeart. So Rush was on their payroll, and Rush came in and did an event for him, which he never does. And Rush sort of made conservatives think that Michael McCall was one of them. Michael McCaul is everything that's wrong with the Republican Party. Michael McCaul is the reason you had to have a Tea Party. Michael McCaul is George W. Bush, John McCain, Mitt Romney, George P. Bush, Liz Cheney, John Boehner. That's who these people are and always will be. And let's be clear, they hate the base. They would rather the base go away. John McCain, to his credit, actually came out and said it. He said, you people are wacko birds, dodo birds, weirdos. These are the people who did not want the wall built. These are the people that would have given you Jeb Bush. That they raised more money for Jeb Bush than had ever been raised for a Republican primary candidate at that time. And he won nothing. But that was their guy. That's McCaul is one. There are a lot of people who are not Democrats, and they're very wealthy, and they see themselves as Republicans, but they're not fighters. They're too scared. They have too much to lose. And their kids go to nice schools, and they like to be honored by the local disease associations and foundations. And they don't want to go into black tie gatherings where they will be criticized for supporting right-wing conservatives. So they go along to get along. But, boy, they're Republican, Dad, burn it.
Well, it's the Michael Berry Show. You can see I'm no sheep for driving. Anyway, I've got no place to go. It's an old man.
Exactly what I'm going to say. Yesterday, police officers came in from across the country. Every Houston Police Department officer wore a black band across their badge, flew the flag at half staff in memory of an officer who was just murdered few days before. That officer was Bill Jeffrey. He was shot by a thug named Dion Ledet, who had a career of crime and had been released to go out and murder and maim more by Democrat Judge Greg Glass. Yesterday, Officer Bill Jeffrey was laid to rest. Tomorrow, Judge Greg Glass is having a fundraiser. Whew. Wow. Hosted by Jim Stafford at the Parador 2021 Benz. Paid for by the Greg Glass Campaign for Judge, Billy Chan, treasurer. And there's a picture of that fat bastard, goofy as ever. Greg Glass, the clear choice for judge, 208th Criminal District Court. Justice matters. That's what the invitation says. You are cordially invited to join us for a fundraising event to support the re-elect Judge Greg Glass campaign. Seen enough yet? Seen enough yet? How much more do you need to know? These people are unashamed. They are absolutely unashamed. None of this bothers them at all. Any police officer or their family member stupid enough to vote for a Democrat, no patience with you. No patience with you. If you're that, I don't know if it's Stockholm Syndrome, I don't know what makes you so stupid. I can't help you. I'm just blown away. We'll never understand. We'll never understand how you can be so stupid. So yesterday, first of all, I want you to ask yourself, this is major news, and am I the first person that's telling it to you? Because I'm not a news breaker. We don't break news. We don't try to break news. In fact, quite the opposite. I like to wait until something is in the public sphere for a few days before we talk about it, because many times the first breaking news is inaccurate. It leaves out an important detail. It overstretches. I like to let something get knocked around a little, you know, get a little dirt on it before we comment, because then I get a better perspective on, okay, what aspects of how it was presented are not true. But it seems like this is the kind of story that should have made news if Joe Biden weren't president and they hadn't defunded the police last year. FBI says 2020 homicides up nearly 30%. Largest one-year jump ever. And remember, this is year over year. It's not like we went from zero and then we had two murders. We already had a lot of murders in America. For that to increase 30%, this is the Associated Press's story, and I want you're not going to believe what this quote-unquote criminologist had to say. Listen to this. Homicides in the United States in 2020 increased nearly 30% over the previous year, the largest one-year jump since the FBI began keeping records, according to figures released Monday by the agency. Homicides and non-negligent manslaughters climbed an estimated 29.4% to 21,570, an increase of 4,901 over 2019, FBI data showed. It is the highest total since the early 90s, when homicides stayed above 23,000 a year as drug wars played out in many places in the U.S. Violent crimes in 2020 went up by a more moderate 5.6% over the previous year, while property crimes continued a nearly two-decade decline, falling 7.8%. Robbery and rape dropped. Now listen to this. You've got homicides up 30%, and I want you to listen very carefully to this. James Allen Fox, a criminologist at Northeastern University in Boston, said he considered 2020 a unique situation and not part of any sort of long-term trend. He attributed the dramatic uptick to a confluence of factors, including the coronavirus pandemic, conflicts over politics and race, and people just generally having too much free time. That sounds like something Norm MacDonald would have said on Weekend Report on Saturday Night Live. And then we would all laugh. But he's not. His answer had nothing to do with defunding the police or empowering Black Lives Matter and Antifa and freeing all the criminals from the prisons. No, three things he said. The coronavirus pandemic. Wait a second. Why are there murders because of... Ramon, did you murder anybody because it was... I didn't murder anybody either. Anybody, if you're listening and you murder somebody, let me know. I don't know what else to do. You know, coronavirus and everything. Probably going to have to kill somebody. It's not even my fault. Is that a defense? Sir, you've been accused of first-degree homicide. How do you plead? Not guilty, Your Honor. On what basis? We have camera footage of you doing it. Coronavirus. Oh, duh, of course. Yeah, you're free to go. Well, how does coronavirus affect murder rates? The second one was conflicts over politics and race. Wait a second. Are white people killing black people for being black? You know, you're black, and I bet the numbers show that you probably vote Democrats. I'm probably going to go ahead and kill you. That's not happening. And then the third one, people just generally having too much free time. The Associated Press actually wrote that. People just generally having too much free time. Just too much. Just, whoop. Yep. Too much free time. Too much free time. I got to work about 12 hours a day. How about you? Do you have too much free time? You know who has too much free time? Democrats. Imagine, so if too much free time leads to murders, how about we do away with welfare and all the stimulus checks and people can get back to work and then they won't have so much free time? How about that? We are living in a candid camera episode, but nobody Nobody's coming out to go, oh, just kidding, you got punk, ha, 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 ha. No, they're real. This stuff is serious. Wow. Wow.
Allied Outdoor Solutions has been a show sponsor of ours in our Houston flagship market for almost 20 years now. And it's been fun because they've gone from just a handful of folks to growing and growing and growing, doing beautiful backyard solutions to make your backyard, your front yard, your side yard, your front driveway look like a resort. And over the years, they've added Austin, San Antonio, Dallas. And what the work they do, you can see it for yourself at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com or have them come do it for you. 844-846-1010. 844-846-1010.